Hi, folks. It is Wednesday night, July the 22nd. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM. Wednesday night, you're listening to the show So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I figured we'd just... You ready to just jump right in?
Oh, let's jump.
Let's jump right... Let's just jump. We're jumping right into the update. We will provide weekly updates on the hate crimes legislation until the darn thing gets passed. So this is quoting from a story over on advocate.com. Despite numerous ups and downs, the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act remains intact and stands a reasonable chance, a whole reasonable chance, of making it to President Barack Obama's desk for a signature this year. So I'm not going to read the whole article, but it's a very, very nutty article about how somehow the hate crimes legislation is all tied up with the funding for the F-22 bombers, and if they cut the funding for the F-22 bombers, then gay people will be safer.
Oh.
So I don't really understand. I guess this is why I do not work in this sector of our lives in the government, because I don't really get how
I
the
feel like
are
that might be in your future.
You do?
Yeah.
I feel like that's
like
never going
I'm gonna
to happen.
I'm going to call you City Councilor Ken.
No. I don't think it's going to happen. I think I've had too sordid of a past.
That's true, but city councilors, I think, can have a sordid past.
You think?
Yeah, we should ask our local city council members, though. Do we have city council members in Brattleboro?
We have our select board.
We have a select board, that's right.
We have our select board.
Right,
I went to one select board meeting, and it wasn't very gay.
No.
And I did not have a very good time, and so I left. I was determined to make it through the entire meeting, and I couldn't even make it through the entire meeting, so I'm not sure... That's the political career.
I bet you could liven things up a bit.
Well, let me tell you something. I was particularly inspired, and this was sent to us by Richard, who has co-hosted this show in your absence.
Really?
He has, way back
this
when.
This scandalous character.
Back in November. He forwarded me a YouTube clip of Representative Tom Duane from New York. So he's a New York state senator. He is gay. He is out. He is HIV positive. And he gave just this unbelievable speech there on the Senate floor right before they closed last week. And so if you want to check out this clip, you need to, on YouTube, if you type in Duane, D-U-A-N-E, Duane fights to cap shelter costs. It's a 20-minute clip. You must go watch it. And so it was, gosh, he was screaming. He was screaming. It was all about, I think they were going to cut HIV and AIDS funding, and he gave just this unbelievable speech about how it was in the 80s when no one in government came to help, when just the government wrote off, certainly President Reagan and everyone else in the government wrote off gay men who were dying by the thousands and thousands. And it was quite unbelievable. So I had this moment of when I was watching it, and so go to YouTube and go type in Duane fights to cap shelter costs. And watch this clip. And I was very inspired. And I was thinking, oh, I kind of want to do that. But I feel like they would shut off the mic for me.
So I don't know. You have a way with people, Ken. I think you could pull it off.
I don't think it's a good way.
Well, I didn't specify.
What kind of way?
I did not specify.
Thank you.
But there's been a lot going on with our government lately.
There's been a lot going on.
There's been a lot. Have you been checking out the ban on HIV positive immigrants? Did you see the progress on that?
I briefly looked at it, but I didn't. Did you have more of a story over there on that side of the radio desk?
Not particularly. I mean, it's legislation that is very tentative at this point. They might lift the ban. It's been around for 22 years, preventing people who are HIV positive from entering our great nation. So
I find that there's a lot of mights right now. We might do this.
It's always like that, though.
Will happen. And
it's always like that.
Maybe
these things take so long.
Happen and cross your
they
fingers.
Stay in the maybe, might, could be phase for a while.
Well, I must say, we actually had an amazing week over at this show, So Gay, getting some fantastic fan feedback.
Oh,
Of listeners that we have never talked to before, who wrote in and wrote in emails and had ideas for different stories. And so we very much appreciate it, and keep on listening. And the one trend that came through on the emails really was a growing frustration with this current administration's lack of productivity on all things gay. So keep that frustration coming, and we'll keep talking about it, and hopefully some sort of critical mass will happen. Well, we have a very exciting show for you tonight. I'm very excited for this guest.
Are
because
you?
Again, the idea that someone would pay money to be
we
a guest
should
on
probably
our
specify
show.
that we were pimped we out. I mean, auctioned off, actually. We were auctioned off.
But it's not just that we were auctioned off, it's that someone actually bid. That's the more remarkable piece for me. So we are going to play our special guest's music, and she had amazing musical selections, and she's going to call in later, and we're going to tell you all about her. But let's get to some music straight away, and here you go.
Walking out in the rain, and I am listening to the low moan of the dial tone again, and I am getting nowhere with you, and I can't let it go, and I can't get woman behind the pink curtains and the closed door on the first floor. She's listening through the air shaft to see how long a swan song can last. And both hands, now use both hands. Oh no, don't close your eyes. I am writing graffiti on your body. I am drawing the story of how hard we tried. Tried. And I am watching your chest rise and fall like the tides of my life and the rest of it all. And your bones have been my bed frame and your flesh has been my pillow. I've been waiting for sleep to offer up the deep with both hands. Oh, with both hands. Other shadow, we grew less and less tall, and eventually our theories couldn't explain it all. And I'm recording our history now on the bedroom wall. And when we leave, the landlord will come and paint over it all. And I'm walking out in the rain, and I am listening to the low moan of the dial tone again. And I am getting nowhere with you, and I can't let it go, and I can't get through. And both hands, please use both hands. Oh no, don't close your eyes. I am writing graffiti on your body. I am drawing the story of how hard we tried. How hard we tried. How hard we tried.
That was Miss Ani DeFranco singing a song called Both Hands. I was going to turn it off early, and then in one of the most animated displays I have ever seen from that side of the table, Becca said, you do not want to turn that off early. You are going to piss off the lesbians. So I left it on because now I'm a little scared.
I'll just tell you, we have people who are very supportive of that song.
I am scared.
Talking to me, they were saying, wow, what a great song. And then you're like, I'm over this song.
But no, it's a great song, and I love lesbians. This morning,
great.
Early this morning at 5 a.m., glass was shattered in the Washington, D.C. area. A American Apparel store had a display. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
Had a display of pro-gay T-shirts And so the T-shirts
I have
say,
seen those.
They say legalize gay, and then in little letters, repeal Prop 8. And the entire display, the window was shattered and all this different vandalism was just happened early this morning. But American Apparel, in a statement, said, quote, love this statement, quote, not only are they not going to prevent us from speaking out on an issue that is important to this company and our employees, but we'll continue to run Legalize Gay advertisements and papers across D.C. metro area. We'll also send Legalize Gay T-shirts to any group in Washington, D.C. that is fighting for gay rights, and will help support any protest or rally for the cause. So, idiot America, you can break the windows, but you're just going to strengthen the resolve of American Apparel. So that did not work. So,
yay!
Yay! Oh, over in West Virginia.
And we've got yays by IM, too.
Oh,
I wish we had sound effects for this show, because it would be so much more fun.
Who's hanging out on IM today?
Oh, we've got all sorts of people.
Are writing to us. So if you're listening to us live, I sincerely hope that you write to Becca, who is manning the IM. The
That's
screen
right.
name is This Show
Is So Gay,
which is also the name
of what this show this show that you're listening to right now,
show.
Unless you're, well, I guess we won't be online for people at the podcast.
No. So if you are podcasting this and you write to us, we're probably not online. So tune in live. It's a whole different show live. Let me tell you, if you're listening to this on the podcast,
you're missing out on all of Ken's best lines that he then thinks better of and takes out.
I edit out quite a bit. Except for the AOL Time Warner rant, which I still think we can
you
take
left
them on.
In, really?
I left that in. So over in West Virginia, as another example of why sexual orientation needs to be in a hate crime law, a mother from Jackson County, West Virginia. Have you ever been to West Virginia?
I have.
Wow. Filed a police report after her 15-year-old son was harassed for an hour and a half at a 4-H camp because he is gay. The mother said, quote,
What do they say for an hour and a half?
I have no idea. Well, that wasn't
Was this
really
just
it.
Verbal taunting?
I think that's what it was. The mother said, quote, he was... actually, she said, quote, he was unconscionable, which I don't think means what she thinks it means. but she said he was unconscionable. He could barely speak. The case will be difficult for police as West Virginia does not include sexual orientation in their hate crimes law. This is not the first time that the family has had to endure harassment because of the boy's sexual orientation. Simple tasks such as going to the grocery store are difficult because of taunting, and going to the movies is no longer an option. I was talking to one of our listeners online on Facebook yesterday, and it was such a sobering reminder of where it is that we are sitting right now, that we are not in that place. I mean, both because we're probably in disproportionately embracing atmosphere for sexual orientation, and also neither Becca nor I are 15 anymore. Remember 15? What was 15 like for you?
Not that long ago. No,
oh,
I'm just kidding.
On.
Well, comparatively. You know. I like to get the digs
Rebecca.
In at Ken every once in a while.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So what is 15? 15 is freshman year of high school. Is it not?
Yeah. Sophomore, yeah.
Freshman, sophomore year. Something. How was that like for you?
Fantastic. SATs. That's what I remember from then.
Yeah.
I think that's what 15 looks like. Study for your SATs. You can't drive yet.
But you can be harassed for being gay.
But you
apparently.
Can be harassed for being gay, I suppose.
So our heart goes out to this young man whose name is not happily not in the article, and also to the adults who left this for an hour and a half. Apparently they were out on the porch and they didn't know what was going on. So you generally should be more aware of what's going on with your campers. Just a general suggestion. We would like to tell you that on October 10th, 2009, This Show Is So Gay is hosting an event called Notes for Life. And you can go to notesforlife.net. There's not a lot there yet. It's just the logo, except the logo is really,
it's
really
a pretty
cool.
logo.
It's a very pretty logo. So go to notesforlife.net. There are three amazing artists that will be performing at this benefit concert. Broadway and cabaret star Kate Pizakis is coming up from New York City. Samira Evans, who is just an unbelievable jazz, funk, R&B goddess, is going to be playing. And also Winter Pills, who are an incredible indie folk rock group. I don't know if they're folk rock. They're indie folk from Northampton, Massachusetts, is coming on up, and they're a huge deal. And tickets are going to be going on sale in a few weeks, and all the proceeds for the event will be split between the San Francisco AIDS Foundation and the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont. So it's going to be an unbelievable event. We really, really hope that you'll be able to join us for that. We hope by this time next week we will announce to you, hey, go buy your tickets, because tickets will be all set. Very, very excited about that. Planning an event, a lot of work. A lot of work, but pretty excited for the big payoff of people showing up. Tickets will be unbelievably affordable. They're only $25 tickets.
That's not bad at
all.
That's
not bad at all for a big benefit.
I might even be able to afford one.
Hey, you should go.
Look at that. Maybe I should go to this thing. This sounds like an interesting event.
It's a good event. All right, let's play another song by an artist who will not be appearing at Notes for Life, though I assume she very much would like to, Miss Tori Amos. Here you Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, fantastic.
Hello. Welcome.
So back in November, Becca, our guest was walking through an auction and saw a prize that said, be a guest on this show is so gay, and thought to herself, oh, I want to do that.
Wow.
I know.
Wow, all the way back in November, too.
We were just like radio babies.
We weren't even on iTunes in November.
She paid hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Or more.
Or more. We won't disclose the exact amount to be on our show. We would love, love, love to welcome Brianna Sevigny to our show. How are you, Brianna?
I'm great. So excited to be here.
Oh,
how are you?
Well, we should tell people a little bit about you. So Brianna is a fellow New Englander. Did you grow up in New England?
I did.
Okay.
Born and bred in Maine.
This is born and bred in Maine. Works at a Catholic college, which we're going to talk about that, Brianna.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. She is engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
When did you get engaged?
Officially on April 10th, and then I proposed to her on July 1st, so...
Wait, now what happened on April 10th?
So, yeah.
April 10th was the day that she proposed to me. And
okay.
I felt very strongly that there was a dual proposal.
Gotcha.
So we both proposed. So.
All right, let's go with April 10th.
Okay.
And then yours just kind of sealed the deal, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are looking for people or companies to sponsor their gay wedding. We would like This Show Is So Gay to be a partial sponsor of your wedding.
Really?
Well, I'm not sure how that would work, but...
we just want our names in the program,
so just
basically, I think.
I would like to be an usher.
Okay.
I can be an usher, too.
Yes, so Becca and I will be ushers, and it's cute that you think you have a choice, but this is we're just showing up at this point.
Okay, great.
So with all that, Brianna, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
So tell us about the thought process. You were walking through an auction, and you saw... a piece of paper that said, be a guest on this show, and you thought, okay, well, tell us what you thought. I'm not going to fill in your thoughts for you.
Well, I've been very involved since college in doing advocacy for GLBT issues, and so it's been something that's been a passion of mine. I've done a lot of professional presentations on it as a higher education professional, so I was really excited about it. I was like, how cool would it be to be on the radio?
Oh,
I love, you know, listening to talk radio, and so I thought it would be really cool to be a part of that.
And now you're here.
And I'm here. I'm
you've
so
been
excited.
You've been counting off the days and crossing them off, and everyone's like, oh, is that for Christmas? And you said, no, it's I'm going to be on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
so,
be with Ken and Becca.
But look at that. Becca, this is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
All right, so we're going to talk some news with you. We're going to talk about your music. We're going to talk about what great ushers we're going to be at your wedding. You ready to dive in?
I'm ready.
So there was a poll this week, and I thought it was particularly appropriate. There was a poll this week that came out, and this was, I'm quoting from the article, if you're gay or lesbian and you're closeted at your office, you're not alone. Despite major strides in acceptance over the last 15 years, many still struggle with the decision to come out at work. A recent Harris poll conducted without an equal at Wedick Combs Communications indicated that 44% of LGBT participants feel unable to talk freely to coworkers about their partners, and up to 78% don't feel comfortable bringing their partners to corporate social functions. Now, the three of us, Ken, Becca, and Brianna, are slightly skewed because we all work in higher education.
It's true.
So it's which is a more traditionally accepting environment, but Becca and Ken work at a, well, let's just say Becca and Ken do not work at a Catholic college. Brianna does. What is that experience like for you?
Well, because I work in residential life,
right.
You know, my department has been wonderful.
Great.
I have a lot of great support there, and I do have a lot of support across the campus. However, there are certainly people who, you know, have expressed that, you know, my lifestyle or my agenda works against the Catholic tradition. So sometimes that can be a little bit, shall we say, separatist?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah. So, but to be honest, most people have been at least willing to have an open dialogue. So... I haven't felt that I needed to not tell people. It's just, to what length do I have a discussion, or do I, you know, let them into my personal life?
Now, is this your first time working at a faith-based school?
It is.
Yeah, see, when I...
Did you go into this with How do you prepare for that? Like, before your first day, did you go into intense therapy and explore these issues? Like, what, how you were going to react to this?
Can we even back up before that? Let's go back to the interview. Because I'm curious. Because I will say that my first interview out of grad school was at a Catholic college in New York City, out in Queens. And it was a great interview, and it was in Residential Life, and they offered me the job, and I just couldn't, reconcile it. They were very accepting, and they said people will be accepting here, but you need to know that if someone does come out to you, you do need to refer them to the clergy. What do you call them? This totally shows how I've never worked at a faith-based institution, but to the chaplain, to chaplain services. And I couldn't reconcile that, and I couldn't take the job. So you were in the interview, and you clearly knew, and I've been to the college at which you work, and there are crucifixes everywhere. So you undoubtedly saw them during your interview, and was there a balancing act? Did you weigh it out? Were you thinking, I can just overcome this? Tell us about what that was like for you.
Well, I went through a graduate program specifically in higher education, and my mentor and my advisor was somebody who constantly challenged the system, who you know was always looking for something challenging, and I felt very akin to that when I worked underneath her as a student, and really wanted to have a diverse experience as a professional. I'd worked at public, large, state, land-grant institutions previously, and I really wanted to get some different experiences. So when I interviewed, I specifically asked about that. I said, I'm not in a relationship at this time, but this is something that's really important to me, and I need to be authentic to myself, so it's going to be important that I'm able to be, an authentic person at work and, enter into these dialogues and be able to provide resources to students and educate the campus. And my boss was really open to that and let me know, was it honest about what the campus was like. And it was a little bit of a surprise because the president at the time actually left when I got the job, so the new president was not quite as open to, the ideas that I was presenting as the former one was. But I haven't felt, excluded, but certain places on campus are more welcoming than others. Although I have to say, campus ministry has definitely been...
Oh, campus ministry, that's what it's called.
Campus ministry office, they're part of our student group, and they are so welcoming. They have a really great grasp of what the Catholic Church actually says about LGBT issues, and they're really open to hearing students and welcoming them. So
that's a good thing.
That's a huge benefit to this campus, and it's not true on every faith-based institution's campus. But
yeah, I have to say, I was at a meeting at your college probably back, I think it was last April, something like that, and I was in some big room where it had all the former presidents, their pictures.
It
was like a room of priests, and everywhere you walked, it was like a haunted house where their eyes were following you, and I'm like, oh, they're looking at the gay Jew, they're looking at the gay Jew. And it was a very freaky experience for me.
Like,
and I'm
like, revisited you in dreams or something?
A little bit.
Seem to remember this quite vividly.
I'm convinced that all the priests' eyes were moving in the photo, so it freaked me out. I'm like, I do not work here.
The past couple have not been clerical staff.
Well, there you go. Because as someone who, my PhD, we've talked about this on the show before, is from a Jesuit institution, and there were points in that process where I really struggled being a Jew as well, but being a gay male at a Jesuit institution was more than a bit bizarre.
But I think it's really important for students who are struggling, whether they ultimately decide that they want to be out or however they choose to identify, even if that's within, the heterosexual community, it's really important for them to have somebody who they can see as someone who is a positive role model for them within the GLBT community.
Absolutely. So, and you are that person for them.
I will take it on.
Nice. Nice. Now, is this one of those where your partner works in student affairs as well?
Yes, she does.
Oh, Brianna.
So that's helpful.
How cute is that? Do you guys work? You don't work at the same school, though.
No, we don't. Yeah.
It's good to separate that out.
Yes.
I've done that unsuccessfully. Well, that's fantastic. It's good. So you've had I have zero doubt that you've had students come out to you. You've probably been one of the first people they've ever come out to.
Yeah, I've had a lot of really great conversations. And some students who are, you know, able to just say, I haven't been comfortable with this before, but I really like you as a person. So I'd like to be able to have a relationship with you and understand more about this. So that's been really positive, too.
Well, and then on top of all of that, you're in a little state called Maine. Now, Maine, as we've been talking about a lot lately, is kind of a really weird place to be gay right now. Certainly a weird place to be gay and married.
It's a really weird place.
I've never been to... have you been to Maine, Becca?
I have.
I have not been to Maine. I should get out more.
You really should.
I should get out more. So if folks don't know, and I'm completely paraphrasing, and I bet you Brianna knows way better than we do, gay marriage was essentially passed, but then if you got enough signatures, I feel terrible that I'm just spouting off right now without the story.
This up.
No, wait, it's true. If they got enough signatures, which was the most random number of signatures, it was something like 57,602, then...
Also, he made that up.
Yes, that one I did make up. then it would be, then there would be a ballot referendum, correct, Brianna?
Right.
So what's that about?
Well, I think it's interesting because Maine has always been a state that is very forward-thinking. There are certainly conservative pockets around the state, but has been pretty forward-thinking about being accepting to all of its citizens. And I think it was just the fact that it was brought up and we put a name to it. But it's been really interesting to hear about it because I work at a government program over the summer that educates students who are girls going into their senior year of high school about the levels of government in the state. And we actually heard from Governor Baldacci about this process, and it was really interesting to hear because he was very clear about making sure that there was a separation between church and state and that it was, you know, only the legal rights that he was guaranteeing citizens of Maine. And that it came down to being an issue of constitutional rights, which it really is when you think about it.
All absolutely.
Citizens are treated equal. And so it was interesting when I actually saw the referendum, I did see some of them that stated, do you think it's fair that churches, temples, synagogues, etc. should be forced to perform unions of same-sex couples, which is completely the antithesis of what he said.
Yeah.
And so I think some people are being tricky about how they were getting those signatures. So I'm not really sure how that's going to work, but they did get enough.
They did get enough.
Basically, it'll go to ballot in November. It was supposed to take effect in September of this year, and it'll go to ballot in November. It'll be put on hold, and then whatever the people decide will be it's a people's veto. If they choose to overturn what the governor said, then that's what will go into effect.
Oh, from September to November, nothing.
Nothing. It's basically on hold. So
I don't like it.
But there's a lot of activism on both sides right now, which Maine has been traditionally notable for. There's a lot of activism on the grassroots level.
Now, any commercials yet?
Well, because I don't live in the state anymore, I haven't seen the commercials, but
okay.
I have heard a lot. There are some radio ads and some print ads.
Okay.
So I'd be interested to see what the, you know, the Gathering Storm ads might look like.
I want to see. Becca, this is the problem with us being in Vermont. We don't get to be in these firestorms.
Yeah. But you know what? Snowstorms are so much calmer than
yes.
everyone. And really, I don't think you can pull off like the tropical storm in Maine.
No.
So
no.
It'd be like a couple snowflakes, rather peaceful, waiting to make the snowman. Or woman. Or person.
Right.
Female-bodied snow person or male-bodied. Really, it's fine. Any
That's
transgender
right.
folks there at your college?
None that are out.
I would imagine that's difficult, too.
Yeah. I did have some experience at my previous institution in another state, but I feel like it would be really tough for them at this institution. I think they would very intentionally avoid that.
Yeah. Now, this is not an advertisement for any professional organizations, but we so rarely have someone who is in the student affairs field on our show. And I think people think that I'm crazy when I talk about my job,
And it would be nice to be validated for someone else to say, no, that's really how it is. What is it about student affairs that makes us crazy, Brianna?
What is it that makes us crazy?
we're a little nutty, kidding. Right?
So many things.
Why are you in? Tell all of our listeners why you are in student affairs. I don't think a lot of people know that it's an actual career.
It's a real job.
It's a real job. No, it's not. Sort of.
I have my master's degree in this.
I'm in a lot of debt for this career.
Yes, I know. I mean, I have to say that I realized very early on in my own undergraduate experience that the people who were part of that experience for me were not only my professors, but they were my hall directors. They were my the coaches at the games. They were, you know, all of the people who were advising student leaders in our groups. You know, there were judicial officers, everyone. And I met so many amazing professionals that really, they were the ones who said, you can do this. You can be better. You can learn more. You can accomplish more. And they made me think of things that I could never have thought of on my own. And I just wanted to return the favor, in essence.
That's like my story. $20 says that Brianna was an RA. Brianna, where do you... Look at that!
Oh.
Becca, you now owe me $20.
I don't think so.
So now, some other stories that I thought...
other co-host, Richard, he'll
owes
pay
me $20.
Yeah.
So we should revisit last week's story to give everyone an update. It's kind of an interesting little mix here. The biggest story on the web this week, the biggest gay story, were about our friendly...
Miss California and her book deal?
No, I thought I was not going to bring that up because you get annoyed every time I bring up Miss California. No, it's... It's about the gay penguins.
Oh, God, but that's such a sad story.
Pepper. Look at that. So, well, now, the stories that are out there, I'm going to read from some of them. The Christian website, onenewsnow.com, quoted a pro-family advocate on Thursday, last Thursday, who parsed the Harry Pepper split as proof that, quote, nature prefers heterosexual relationships.
Nature.
Three
penguins in a zoo makes nature.
And now then some websites are questioning whether or not Harry is actually bisexual. All about the penguins. They are inspiring a lot of stories.
Why would he have to choose how to self-identify?
I'm telling you. Brianna.
What does it say if most animals are not actually monogamous?
Look at that. Would you like to make that the message for the night, Brianna? That could be our theme for the night. I don't think we should tease that out.
Are you taking a stance on traditional nature family values?
That's not Brianna's platform.
I think it should be everybody's right to choose who they love and nobody's business how they love.
Look at that.
That was like bumper sticker good.
That was good. All right, we're done with the penguins because Brianna has put a nice little bow on the penguins.
Yeah.
Now, are you a pop culture nut, Brianna?
I do typically love pop culture. I don't read a lot of the smut mags anymore, but, you know, they're fun. I like it.
Well, one of the big stories that we didn't talk about last week because we didn't have enough time because we were jam-packed last week was... The story that came out where one pretty big name director, Don Roos, said that actors being out would harm their careers. And then he took that back really quickly. But then now this other guy, Emmy winning director Todd Holland, said that gay actors should stay closeted. And he is not taking that back. He's saying, it's actually kind of an interesting quote, I have a deep respect for homophobia in American society, and I don't think it will ever go away. I don't think actors coming out is going to help end homophobia. I think doctors, teachers, and lawyers coming out will end homophobia. Do we think, so this brings us to this week.
So who was that quote from?
That one was from Emmy-winning director Todd Holland.
That was his last Emmy.
Well, it quite frankly, it's very possible. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I screwed that up. That was Don Roos. So originally it was Todd Holland who said something.
Okay.
And then
he's now denying.
Right. And then Don Roos, who wrote and directed the films Bounce, The Opposite of Sex, which I've seen, and Happy Endings. He also wrote Single White Female, which I've seen, and Boys on the Side, which is a pretty LGBT-friendly movie. And it brings us to this week's poll, which we are going to let our guest tonight answer the poll. So, Brianna, the question for this week is, do you think coming out could harm a young gay actor's career? And here are your choices that the poll provided. Choice one, no. Actors such as Neil Patrick Harris prove that coming out doesn't affect your career. Choice two is yes. The actor will be typecasted and will not be given major leading roles. Or choice three, not sure. Do you think coming out could harm a young gay actor's career?
Well, I'm going to go with no. I feel like as a young person, I really identified a lot, especially with people like Angelina Jolie. And I know that, you know, there's a whole slew of comments that could be made about her. But she was a young person when she was dating one of her co-stars,
yeah,
who was a woman. Jenny Shimizu, I think is her name.
And, I think so, yeah.
And I feel like that was a huge boost for her, to get in with some of the kind of subculture crowds that really boosted her. And now she has plenty of major roles. Of course she's married, but whatever.
So Brianna says no. Becca, do you think coming out could harm a young gay actor's career?
I'm going to say not particularly.
Not particularly. Now, keeping in mind that this was on one of the major gay websites, overwhelmingly, people said yes, he will be typecasted and will not be given any major leading roles. 64% of all those polled, and this was thousands of people, said yes. 31% said no, and 5% were not sure. And I think what's even more interesting about that is the gay community thinking that the actor would be typecasted.
Yeah.
I'm not into this poll. Not into the results. So we will support...
I think it depends on gender, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would say for a lot of jobs, pretty much every other job, I would say yes. But acting, I mean, I feel like you have to be flexible in your roles.
Right.
And
right.
Otherwise, you're not an actor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
All right.
Part of being everyone that you want to be. I mean, you get to...
But I guess
it's not about who you are.
I guess some people do really follow celebrity gossip, though, because I won't be able to tell which actor is which. Like, I see them in different movies, and I think they're different people because they look different and they're talking differently. So I'm easily fooled. So maybe that's why I wouldn't care.
And I have to say, you know, a lot of the gay characters on TV right now are mostly in reality shows. We were watching, we actually were watching 24, which I now realize is not a reality show, though it took me six seasons to realize that. Are you a 24 watcher, Brianna?
I don't watch it.
You could lose entire weeks of your life. I've got RAs calling me in emergencies, and I don't have time.
We need that countdown noise that they do.
I would love that. I would love that. So we were watching it, and somewhere around hour 22, they had this character who was woken up in the middle of the night, and there was another man in the bed, and it was just a fact of the story. Like, it wasn't part of the story. That's not why he was being called. It was just a snippet of, he's sharing a bed with another guy. And so Andrew and I are like, and then we were curious if that was supposed to be titillating and people were supposed to respond to that. It certainly wasn't part of the story. It just happened to be that the actor was gay. And then we got very upset because it was confusing. Because we're like, he's gay. But maybe we're just normalizing that and that's fine. Or how many people in middle America were like, he must be the villain. And indeed, he turned out to not be a good guy. And we have a lot of guests coming up, clearly a lot of gay guests, because, you know, it's our show. But those in the entertainment industry, we have someone from Top Chef is going to be on. We have someone from The Real World. So those are reality TV shows. The gay actors, the out actors, sadly are few and far between. We support them.
We do. I think it's difficult, too, because there are people who, you know, like myself, who don't necessarily put ourselves into a category, and if they happen to be dating someone who people assume them to be in the mainstream with, you know, or in a traditional quote-unquote heterosexual relationship, then they completely deny a whole portion of their identity.
Absolutely.
And don't bring that into the mix at all. So I think there are probably a lot of, you know, people who are in the limelight who fit into that, and maybe people don't know about, or who they just don't publicize their personal lives. And so,
well, it's also, I mean, now it's going to be the hard part for you, Brianna, because we got to put you on the spot, and we're going to find out what your song choices say about you.
Oh gosh.
So we're just going to do a couple of them because you paid money to be on the show. So we're going to be extraordinarily nice to you.
Normally
we would
grill you.
We're going to be gentle. Kid gloves. So we'll start out with What Does Both Hands by Ani DiFranco, which I almost turned off a few seconds early, and Becca yelled at me and said that I would piss off an entire community if I did that.
Not an entire community. Three people who were telling me how much they loved the song at that moment.
Both Hands by Ani DiFranco. What does it say about Brianna?
It really reminds me of kind of an early awakening for me and my first introduction to the Ani crowd, and how that helped me to learn kind of who fit into the lesbian community.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that early stage when you see everybody talks about like the girls cutting their hair and everybody's wearing buttons and, you know, they're fitting into the categories because they want a name. You know, they want to express their sexuality. And so that was kind of the early part of it for me. And I feel like that song is really kind of about growing through a relationship and, you know, kind of discovering it and learning that, you know, it doesn't have to be the end-all, be-all, but it's always going to be an important part of you.
Now, I'm told that she helps facilitate that. She has not done that for me, but I'm told she helps that with others.
She does.
All right. Now, this is always interesting, and every time one of our guests chooses a song by this artist, I'm always just fascinated, and I can't wait to hear what they say, because we would like to know what Raspberry Swirl by Tori Amos says about you. And I will say, as I say every time we play a Tori Amos song, I have absolutely no idea what she's talking about anymore. So I would just like to put that out there. I feel like Little Earthquakes, I kind of knew what she was saying. And then Under the Pink, she started losing me. And then I have absolutely no idea what she's saying. So Raspberry Swirl, which is on a later album from the Choir Girl Hotel. What does that song say about you? I can't wait.
Oh, gosh. Well, she is kind of a love 'em or hate 'em person.
Yes.
That song in particular, I really love because in the song, she's talking about a relationship that she has with a friend and people who are questioning that relationship of who she is to her friend. And she talks about like being her friend's man, and fitting into kind of gender stereotypes. And so I really love the song because it's kind of like edgy and exciting and it moves really quickly, but it still kind of has her personality, which is really crazy. And eclectic in there. Tori Amos was like one of those artists when you're in your kind of preteen, teen, you know, I hate everything.
Or early 30s.
Or 30.
Yeah.
Yes. Who carries you through all those moments when you don't know where to put your energy and you need somebody who kind of talks in, you know, tongues
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. I have no idea what she's saying, but I still listen to her constantly. So this was not a song I needed.
That song will kind of, it talks a lot about gender stereotypes, and I really liked that, so.
And then it's ironic that the, I probably shouldn't say this, but I already started. It's ironic that the police sirens are going off outside, because the song that is going to play you out is a George Michael song, Too Funky.
Yes.
I feel that's just obvious. I feel it's really obvious, but if you want to give voice to it, Brianna, go for it.
Well, I will, because I was very in love with him for so long, and then I found out he was gay, and I was heartbroken that it could never happen. I actually saw him at the Millennial March in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I was in college, and it was my first time down there marching, and so it was kind of, him being there was like, you know, the icing on the cake. But that song was, I used to be obsessed with MTV, and that video, if you've ever seen
it. Oh, I've seen that video.
Oh, loved it.
Loved
and
it.
I was like, yes, he knows how to speak my language, so.
It's a good thing. She did pretty well.
She did pretty well.
She did pretty well.
I think we'll keep her.
We'll keep her. Now, Brianna, this student affair, first of all, actually, tell people that I get all these emails saying, oh, you made an editorial mistake on your website. Brianna's name should have a capital B. Tell them that I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Thank you.
My first name has a lowercase.
Okay. I just needed to put that out there.
Is this something your parents did or you did?
No. My mom still struggles with it. I did it. I felt like it was a good expression of my personal and political beliefs. Kind
nice.
Of a challenge to things being the way they've always been just because they've been that way.
Yeah.
So
Okay, so let's Brianna said it herself. I did not make a mistake. Stop writing me emails saying that I screwed up the website. Thank you.
Ten notes. He is on top of it.
I did not screw that up. Well, Brianna, you are in a field that I know intimately well. We move at about 1,000,000 miles a minute, which in a couple weeks is going to be a little bit faster than that. So my hope is that someone is stopping you, and if they're not, I will tell you right now, that someone is stopping you and telling you what a difference that you are making. I'm proud of what it is that I do, but I also know that I chose a climate that there's a lot more predictability to it. I know exactly what I'm going into, and I certainly don't know what everybody's thinking, but it's a different challenge that you fully embrace, and I have no doubt from what you've said and from the things I know are excelling at. You are a true role model in this field, and I'm proud to have you on the show and proud to be in a field with you. You're doing good work.
Much. I'm so excited that I got the opportunity to be with both of you tonight.
Yeah, we're not always told. The students don't always jump up and say, oh my gosh, this is a difference you make. And every now and then they do, and sure. That's fantastic. But if you don't know it, and I know you do, but I'm going to say it for everybody anyway, you are making a huge difference. And so we wish you all the best. We're, of course, going to see you at your wedding because we're going to be there. We're going to be there.
Well, thank you. So. You guys are doing some great work, too. It's really important that people have a voice on the radio, and this is a great way to make that happen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So, all the best to Brianna. We're going to play Too Funky to get her the heck out of here and back working on orientation and housing selection. And that's pretty much it. Brianna, all the best. Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you so much for calling in, and have an amazing academic year coming up.
Great. Thanks. Same to both of you.
Great. Thanks,
you.
Brianna.
Night.
Bye-bye.
That's George Michael being oh so funky. Throw out some stories at us. We only have a few minutes left. My gosh, this show flew by. What do you got over there?
I've got a few stories, really, really fast stories, because we're almost out of time, believe it or not. Number one, South Africa stops funding for AIDS vaccine research is the headline. Did you see this one?
I didn't see that one.
Indeed, they have stopped funding research on AIDS vaccines.
Do you have a happy story over there on the East Wing?
Okay, we're going to skip that. We're going to go right to the San Diego group planning a kiss-in.
Yes, I did
see
that.
In front of the Mormon temple as a show of support for a gay couple who were cited for trespassing in Utah. So that's basically the whole story. They're going to stage a kiss-in. I thought their group's name was pretty funny. They're the Empowering Spirits Foundation.
Nice.
Which is just so happy.
That is
like,
so
I feel
happy.
Like they should have a sunflower as their icon. Or
a rainbow
logo.
Sunflower.
Yes, a rainbow
kissing
sunflower.
Kissing another sunflower.
That's right.
With two penguins watching, yes?
Indeed. And I have one more story.
Go for it.
This weekend, July 25th,
that is
the
weekend.
Pride celebration for Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh.
And there is a big plan going on with this.
Oh.
The Pentecostal preachers Lou Engel and Michael Brown have announced a plan to surround the Pride events with a hoped-for 1,000 flock members in order to reach out to gays and lesbians with the compassion of Jesus. So I think they're going to encircle Pride and give it a big warm hug in the name of Jesus.
I will say, I actually read about this, and if you stroll on over, it's really interesting. If you stroll on over to 365gay.com, one of the editorial writers there wrote a whole article about this and got a response from...
They're all going to be wearing t-shirts. This is what the response
was, too.
Yep, they're all going to be wearing the t-shirts that say, God has a better way, which is what got the other article started, I think.
Well, this, the main... preacher guy who's organizing this wrote, they've been writing back and forth, and so you should definitely check out it's you should always read what the opposition or the people that are antithetical to whatever it is that you're thinking. The only way to understand your view is to understand the opposite's view, and we teach that all the time. So you should read what he wrote, because it gives it some insight, and it certainly still doesn't make everything comfortable, but go stroll on over to 365gay.com and read the letter that he wrote explaining what it is that they're doing this surrounding.
But if you are living in a wonderful state like Vermont or Massachusetts or Connecticut, and you feel like you're losing touch with that fighting stance that you might need to keep you going in this kind of work, if that's how you're feeling... then I can't think of a single better way to recharge batteries than go to godhasabetterway.com.
Oh boy.
And
that's going to get people fired up.
And it'll get you fired up. It's interesting.
No, you should check that out, and I want to just remind people, right after you do that, really stroll on over to YouTube and look up Tom Duane's speech that he just gave last week.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think it's a really good reminder, particularly for those of us who were under the age of, I mean, gosh, say 40, who the 80s was just a much different time for us than it was for people who were experiencing so much devastation, death and devastation and sickness. And it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago, folks.
Absolutely.
So we're ending on that note. Please, please, please drop us an email. This show is sogay@AOL.com. We, of course, respond to each and every email. If you have a link and you want to send it along, I guarantee we're going to talk about it. And I can also guarantee that we're probably going to credit you for it. And that's pretty much it. Join our Facebook group, which you can link to off of our website, thisshowisogay.com. We have amazing, amazing guests coming up. So click on upcoming and see who's coming up. And that really brings us to the close of another Gay Wednesday.
How is that possible?
I know, it flew.
Wednesday just comes and then it disappears
and it's gone, and we'll see you next Wednesday. So when you're out there, if you are being surrounded by prayer, if you are marching at a pride rally, if you are rooting for one penguin over another trollop of a penguin, just remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?